I fought a bear in nothing but my underwear, and I'm not really sure who was more scared, the bear, myself, or some of you that may have just pictured that fight. But about 13 years ago in Prince George, BC, where I grew up, I was awoken in the middle of the night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and there had been a string of break-ins in our area, and I heard a terrible noise coming from my garage. So I jumped out of bed, and I let my Rottweiler out the back door, and then I went bursting out the front door. And as I rounded the corner of the garage, I ran into something solid and furry. And we both fell over to the floor. And then I like to think that both of us screamed, but it was probably just me. But all I know is that as I lay there on the ground and I saw this black bear get to its feet and run off, I was still screaming. And I'm not very good at basketball, but I felt like I could jump about 10 feet in the air. I'm not sure I've ever experienced an adrenaline rush like that in my entire life. As I look back now, I realize how stupid that was for multiple different reasons. Like, what if somebody had been breaking into my garage? They would have now been armed with all of my tools, sledgehammers, axes, chainsaws, and I would have had nothing. Or what if it had just been the neighbor taking his trash out? Like, that would have been a terrible image for him to have had to live with for the rest of his life. See, we live in a scary world. And we live in a world where things happen. And sometimes it can be really scary. And then, in 1 Thessalonians, we're called to a life of holiness. And holiness means to be set apart, to be different, to live differently to this world. God calls us to be strong and courageous in this world and live a life of holiness, and that's really, really scary. So tonight, we are gonna unpack my favorite verse in the Bible. It's a verse that I have read to myself multiple times, and as I prepared for this message, it became a verse of soothing peace. And it's Joshua 1:9. And that's what we're gonna unpack tonight. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to come here tonight to worship you and to hear a word from you. And so Jesus, again, I ask and pray that it would be your words I speak tonight, not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. In Joshua, we hear the story of how the children of Israel entered into the promised land and then took the promised land as God had promised them. Now, it took them 40 years to get to that position, but this was the land that God had promised them. And Joshua had some really big shoes to fill. I'm sure most of you guys have heard about this guy named Moses, you know, rescued the children of Israel from Egypt, divided the Red Sea, made water come out of the rock, like pretty big, significant biblical character. And in the beginning of Joshua, we learn that Moses is dead and that Joshua has been the man placed by God to now lead the children of Israel. And in Joshua chapter 1, God gives Joshua one command 3 times. Be strong and courageous. First, in verse 6, be strong and courageous. And then in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. And finally, in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. If God ever says something 3 times, it's something we should take note of. So to go a little deeper, let's look a little bit at the original language that this phrase would have been written in. And the phrase, quite simply, is rock, hazak, amatz. Okay, pretend like we're in language class. You guys are gonna say this with me now. Rock, hazak, amatz. So let's say it all together now. Rock, hazak, amatz. Now say it like you mean it. Rock, hazak, amatz. Awesome, you guys are great. You guys must have fantastic teachers. If God says something three times, it's worth noting. And the original Hebrew gives us a deeper understanding of what God called Joshua to and what he's saying to us today. So let's start with the first word, rock, okay? Pretty simple word in the Hebrew language, but it's an action word. It's a call to do something. And so as Christians, we are not called to just sit around and do nothing. We are called to do something. So rock is an action word. The second word is hazak. And this means to strengthen yourself in the Lord. We can be strong because of God. We can mentally become strong because of God. That means that when temptation, desire, and distrust of God come before us, we are called to be strong in heart and with all of our souls and with all of our strength and with all of our mind. The devil doesn't have a lot of tricks, but one of the things that he will use is every opportunity to make us distrust who God is and who God has made us to be. I want you guys to remember this, that God doesn't make mistakes. And this word hazak is found multiple times throughout the Bible. And depending on the location of it, it shows what the person is putting their faith and trust and strength in. And what God is saying to Joshua here is, I want you to be strong because of me. I want you to be strong because of me. Joshua, I know you're scared. Joshua, I know you have insecurities. Joshua, I know that you have to lead the children of Israel across the river and into the promised land. And I know you've already been there once with 10 other people and your buddy Caleb. And the 10 people believed it was too hard of a task. I know you have a hard thing ahead of you, but if you do it with me, you will be strong because I will make you strong. And then lastly is a beautiful word called amatz. It's courage, courageousness, and fearlessness. It's wisdom. See, sometimes God will call us to something that is scary. Or God will call us to something that is really daunting. Actually, when Thessalonians says that we are called to be holiness, that's actually pretty scary. Because what we're called to is we are called to be different in this world. We are called to be set apart. And so God says, not only do I want you to be strong because of me, but I want you to be fearless with me. I want you to be courageous in me. The word courageous actually means to do something even though you're frightened. So when we put all of that together, it's a call to action. It's a call to do something. It's a call to be strong in God. And then it's a call to be courageous even when we are afraid. And at the end of verse 9, God ends it with, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So how do we do that? How do we become strong and courageous? I think that Luke chapter 6 puts it perfectly. Jesus goes up the mountain to pray and to hear from God. And then Jesus comes down the mountain and he chooses his disciples. And then they go out into the country and they start to do the work of God. And they start to teach and they start to heal and they start to go about God's kingdom business. That is what we are called to do. We have to spend time with God. We have to spend time together. That's why we put such an emphasis on community groups. And then we're called to action, to get out there and do something. We have to be about God's work. But we can only be about God's work if we're spending time in God's word, in worship, and then in community with others. It comes from living a life of holiness. We have to be the examples. The world will try to convince you that you don't have what it takes, and that your small opinion and life will make no difference. But I love in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, where it says, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." The world would want you to shrink back, to distrust God, to lean on the world's understanding of how things should be, to convince you that who God is and who he says you are called to be is all a lie. But God says, "Rakazakamats, be strong and courageous in me. Don't shrink back. Don't be destroyed. Keep the faith. Keep going. Keep pursuing me. Keep striving after the plan and the purpose that I have given you. Don't back down and don't give up. Be strong and courageous." And I love that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39 comes right before Hebrews 11. Because Hebrews 11, I consider it the superhero chapter of the Bible. And it's all about faith. And when you read through it, it's about how Abraham had faith and Noah had faith and Moses had faith. And then at the end of the chapter, the author of Hebrews goes, "And I don't even have time to tell you about all of these others who saw God give them victory after victory after victory." Rock, hazak, amatz. Be strong and courageous. Holiness isn't easy. Living a different life isn't easy. When God calls us to be different in this world, he's calling us to stand alone sometimes. He's calling us to refrain from the impurities that are before us and to stop doing some of the things that perhaps we enjoy doing, because he calls us to a life of holiness. Here's the thing, though. Living a life of holiness can be really scary. And so I want to share a story of a time when I was really afraid. It was 2 weeks ago. We did a fear factor at Airdrie Youth for our fam night. And I said to our students that we would bring the reptile people in. And that for every one of the students that was there that night would equal 1 second that I would hold a snake. Now here's the backstory. This is petrifying to just stand here, because that snake in that picture right there looks about as big as it felt when I held it, okay? Now here's the thing. When I was 5 years old, I met a similar snake. See, my teachers thought it would be really cool to bring the snake people into our kindergarten class, right? And then the guy that was handling the snakes thought it would be great to wrap 5-year-old snake around my shoulders. And I have lived with an irrational fear of snakes for 30 years. Now here's a little side story. My wife and I went to Florida for our honeymoon. And we found a deal for Billy Bob's Safari Park. Okay? We're driving down the interstate, and we see this faded sign for Billy Bob's Safari Park. 40 miles this way. Still there, great. And we drove the 40 miles through the Everglades, and we come into this abandoned parking lot with this little wooden shack. And we go in, and I ask the guy what the price of everything is. And he goes, "Well, sir, every attraction's $25. But if you buy the deal, it's only $75, and you get to do all four." Now, I like a good deal. So I'm like, "Okay, we'll do all four." Our first one was an airboat ride. through the Everglades. It was awesome. Got to see alligators, and I pretended like we were on an episode of, you know, Alligator Hunters. I thought it was great. And then the second one, you got to take this big 4x4 pickup, and they drove you through these big mud puddles, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. This is the best value for money I've ever had in my entire life. And then the third one, you got to hold a little baby alligator. And I learned something really important at that point in time. Baby alligators are really soft. And if you make the comment of, this feels like a nice pair of cowboy boots, the person in charge gives you a really dirty look. So now, we should have just quit right then and there. But that wouldn't have been a deal, would it? No, we had to go to the venomous snake show. And so they take you in to the venomous snake show, and you sit there on these little bleachers, and there's a 3-foot wall of plexiglass between you and this guy with an incredibly low IQ level who just takes snakes out of cabinets and just starts playing with them. So he's like, well, this is a rattlesnake from Montana, so I'm just gonna set this down over here, and this is a cottonmouth, and if it bites me, I've got 20 minutes, and I'm like, it took us 30 minutes to drive in from the interstate. Like, you know, and then he's got a python around his neck, and I'm completely paralyzed by fear. I can't move. And so the show ends, and Marcella's like, okay, it's time to go, and I'm like, no, I think I'm just gonna sit here because I can't move. Well, that night, about 2:00 in the morning, seems when weird things happen. Marcella wakes up to me standing on the edge of our bed, looking at the bathroom door. And she's like, hey babe, can I help you? I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. She's like, well, it's right there. And I'm like, the floor is covered in snakes. So I have to jump from the bed to the bathroom without hitting my head on the top of the door. And she's like, or you could walk across the carpet. I was like, they're covered in snakes. And with that, I lunge at the bathroom, Superman style, catching the top of the door and just knocking myself right out. So bad. When I tell you guys that I have an irrational fear of snakes, I'm not lying. But this is what I want to encourage you guys with. We're actually starting to draw to a close. It's going to be a short message tonight because I want you to understand that God calls us to be strong and courageous in a world that wants to discourage us. There was a moment right before I picked that snake up, and I can show you the video at another point in time. But there was this moment where I was standing there and I got done talking to the students and sharing about my irrational fear of snakes. And I was looking at the snake on the table, and this voice in my head said, Ben, give up. Walk away. Take the shame, take the guilt, be a failure. Who cares? Who's really going to care? You can quit your job. You can find a job somewhere else. You can just walk away. Take the shame. Take the guilt. Don't worry about this. And there was this moment where everything inside of me started to scream, run away. And I don't know about you guys, but as I try to follow God and live a life of holiness, I get those same small voices in my head. It's okay to gossip a little bit. That person was mean to me. It's okay to follow this person on Instagram. A little bit of inappropriateness won't hurt me. It's okay to listen to this song. It's okay to look at that image. It's okay to make those jokes. And suddenly, all of this stuff starts to creep in, and the voice of temptation becomes louder and louder and louder. And what I want you guys to do tonight is I want you to replace that voice that tells you God is a lie, that you are a mistake. And I want you to replace it with this phrase, Rock Hazak Amatz. As the worship team come up, I want you guys to stand to your feet because we're gonna prepare to go back into worship. And tonight, my hope and my goal and my whole reason for being here, Evan, we can pop this down, is that you'll get this idea of Rock Hazak Amatz. See, being strong and courageous means that you apologize first in every conflict. Being strong and courageous means that you sit with that kid that nobody else wants to sit with. Being strong and courageous means that you never lie. Being strong and courageous means that when people start to gossip around you, you say, actually, I don't want to listen to that because that person does not deserve you to speak to them like that. Rock Hazak Amatz means that you turn the internet off, you start unfollowing people on Instagram, that you say pornography, you have no right in my life, any addictions to drugs, alcohol, or anything else, you have no place here. Because Jesus says that you can be strong and courageous in Him. Jesus came to this earth as the example of how we should live. And what did He do? He went up the mountain. He spent time with God. Then He went down and He spent time in good community. And then He went and went about the Father's business. So we're going to say this three times together. So I want you guys to repeat after me on three. You ready? One, two, three. Rock Hazak Amatz. Why? Because God created you and He doesn't make mistakes. You ready? One more time. Rock Hazak Amatz. Now I want you to say it a third time so loud that the gates of hell start to rattle. But Rock Hazak